You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings fans, happy Tuesday, happy game day. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato. As always, pleased to be here as your host as we talk about all things Los Angeles Kings. I'm glad that you're making this show your first listen of the day every day. And in case you are new here or in case you have not yet done it, this show is, of course, free and available on all podcast platforms. So make sure you're subscribing to the show so you never miss an episode, a game preview, a game recap, a freak out about something weird that happened. You'll never miss them if you are subscribed to the show. On today's episode, it is all things Predators. We've got one half of Locked On Predators here on the show today to talk about what's going on with his team, with the matchup we're going to see tonight, and of course, with everyone's feelings about Victor Arvidsson. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right to it and talk Predators. The Kings' next opponent is the Nashville Predators as they head out on a four-game road trip. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about the Predators and what they have in store for us coming up in this game. And I have today on the show, Nick Morgan, one half of Locked On Predators, one of the newest team of hosts to join the network. And so, Nick, thank you for joining me on the show today. Welcome to the Locked On Podcast Network. And for people who don't know you or who don't follow along with Predators work, just give me the little elevator spiel on how you got to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sarah. Luckily, we'll bring some Southern hospitality when the Kings come to town today. So basically, I am a writer and editor for a website called On the Forecheck. I have been following the Preds since they came into the league way back in 1998. And yeah, that's my hometown team. And after a couple of years writing about them, lucked into the lockdown role and happy to be a part of a great network of people.
Well, we are certainly glad to have you here and to help guide us through learning all about the Predators. And so we're going to start out with a couple questions just about that team. And don't worry, we will talk about Victor Arvidsson today because I think that everyone wants to know a little bit more about how he's doing, and Kings fans might want to learn a little bit more about him as well. But we will jump right in with some listener questions. So thanks to all of you guys who are out there listening and on Twitter who have thrown some questions at me. One of the first questions that I got is, what kind of style of play do the Predators excel at? The comment was made that last year, really, it was just Yusei Saros putting that team on his back and trying to drag them, as far as he could. But what is sort of the best style of play for the Predators?
Yeah, I was going to ask if the word excel is really something that needs to be hit on in that question, because the Predators are certainly still trying to find their footing in a lot of different ways. Anybody who has watched any of the Preds special teams over the past 2 years or any of the first two games will know that. But this is a team that likes to have high volume shots on net. They're not necessarily high quality, but their goal is to kind of get shots from the point, Yossi, Ekholm, Favreau, guys with good shots, and hopefully just cause enough chaos in front of the net to get the loose rebounds, deflections, weird bounces, stuff like that. You will see that top line of Matthew Shane, Ryan Johansson, and Philip Forsberg do a little bit more of a physical cycle behind the net. Duchesne, Johansson in particular are very physical players, as is Forsberg. So they'll try to kind of muscle their way into traffic, maybe draw two or three guys onto them, and then find an open man for a good quality chance. But again, this is a Predators team that doesn't seem to really have a strong identity right now in terms of style. But I would imagine over the next couple of years, you're going to see that change.
You did mention a couple of players I wanted to check in on, and that is Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, who I know so much has been made about them and the contracts that they have, and are they living up to those contracts, and how do you get rid of them? And I feel like that buzz was especially big around the time of the expansion draft. So what's life like for them? How are they fitting in? How are they dealing with the fact that everyone is just like, why are we paying you this much money?
Well, it's business as usual for them. And I think if you talk to Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene or listen to anything they've said in the offseason, you're going to understand that they know they haven't had their best year. In Johansson's case, the past couple of years, Duchene last year was especially bad for him. But I think they know that this is probably their last chance to prove that they can be a vital part of this team going forward. I think they know when neither of them were protected, that was kind of a wake-up call and said, look, you know, you're not really living up to this contract right now. And I think it was even a bigger wake-up call when Seattle came out and said, you know what, we're not going to really take a chance on either one of them, especially because both of them were considered number one centers just a few years ago. But so far, they've each looked good. Johansson and Forsberg have been particularly strong in terms of production, and Duchene has had a couple of really good games so far. So the jury's still out on what it's going to be moving forward.
Another thing that I think is always kind of interesting to hear about is a team's depth. And that's certainly something that people who don't really follow the Kings are always like, who else is on this team other than Drew Doughty and stuff? So one of the questions that I got was, aside from kind of the big names on that team, Forsberg, Ekholm, who we know just signed a new deal, Roman Josi and Saros, who are players on this team that Kings fans need to know about and be aware of before this game happens?
Well, outside of those four, I would say this year the best player on the team has been Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. Your listeners probably know that name from his days in the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. Kind of lost a step when he first came to Nashville, but over the past couple of years, he's developed into a number two center and has excelled at that role tenfold, especially under John Hines. Very good defensive forward, very good playmaking abilities, and great hockey IQ. I mentioned this yesterday. Whenever he's on the ice, the other team just looks messy. That's how much he disrupts the game for the other team in the defensive zone. And then one guy to really watch out for is the guy next to Granlund, and that's Eli Tolvanen. Mm-hmm. A lot of fans loved his breakout season last year. But this year he's developed more of a play facilitator role. He loves to push the play, and the Predators seem to have taken the leash off of him a little bit. So those two are guys that can do some damage tonight against the Kings.
What does the future look like for this Predators team? I know that, you know, it last season was sort of almost a surprise in some ways that they made the playoffs. There was a lot of concern about the direction the team is heading in, a lot of, you know, if this isn't successful, is it finally time to start looking at David Poile and, you know, where do we go from here? Is this kind of a, you know, under the radar sort of rebuild for the Predators? Is this a, we're going to start throwing everything to see how far we can get? Just what's the world look like for them?
Well, first off, as a social media manager for a Preds blog, this is not a fun time to elicit opinions on Twitter. Let me tell you that much. But look, the future is very murky at this point because I think the Preds' future depends a lot on this season. You know, you've heard David Poile come out and say, look, this is going to be a competitive rebuild. We're going to transition to some younger players. But at the same time, pretty much all of his actions has proved he still trusts this roster. He still loves the idea of all these guys, even some of them who may not have been living up to their contracts. He believes in them. He thinks that they can get Nashville a cup. We're going to have to see, though. Philip Forsberg's obviously a free agent at the end of this year. I think his contract status is going to be a lot of the puzzle pieces that are still missing from the Preds' long-term puzzle. So I think this season is going to really dictate the direction of the team moving forward. Because right now, it could go either way.
Well, I feel like it's a sort of strange new world for the Predators, who are, you know, had to move on from longtime goalie Pecorine and just a lot of change. So it's I feel like as a third party observer kind of person, it's interesting to watch to see what happens and, you know, see where they go from here. Even though, you know, as someone who wants to watch the Kings and wants to see them win, I'm kind of like, oh, chaos. Great. More Predators thoughts with Nick are coming up right after this. First, though, betonline.ag is back, and it is better than ever. They've got a new web interface for the start of the basketball season. They've got more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, of course, remains your number one spot for all of the basketball and football action this season. You can head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So that's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON, BetOnline, where the game starts. And to back up all of that stuff you're going to see on betonline.ag, you also probably want to be watching sports. And watching sports can be frustrating because you maybe don't have enough TVs, or you have four different devices that show you four different games. Well, we now have a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. The best part is that there's no annual contract, so stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. We're going to learn a little bit more about the Predators, and then I answer some questions about the Kings. That is all coming up right now on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, your favorite podcast about the Los Angeles Kings, which you make, of course, your first listen of the day. Let's learn a little bit more about tonight's matchup.
The Predators situation right now doesn't seem all that different from the LA Kings, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like they're kind of caught between eras right now. You know, you have some of the older veterans, you have this big, deep prospect pool coming up that you want to work in. And it just seems like it's kind of a two ships passing in the wind. And right now you're not really sure which end of the spectrum is mm-hmm. controlling the team.
It might make for a good matchup tonight then, with two teams kind of in transition. I had one other question from a listener, which I think will transition nicely into me feeding you whatever information about the Kings that you want to know before the game, which is about Victor Arvidsson. This is going to be his first game back in Nashville after spending his career to date there. What do you think the reception is going to be like for welcoming him back? I know that he was a fan favorite, and the mood when he was traded was not great. So what's the homecoming going to be like for him?
It'll be one of the best standing ovations Nashville's ever given to a former player. Definitely the best since PK Subban. Arvidsson was beloved here, and he still holds a number of offensive records, not only on the ice player-wise, but everybody loved his personality. He's just a fun guy to kind of talk to and be around. As you mentioned, Preds fans, I think, knew it, both Arvidsson and the team needed kind of a different direction, but it definitely hurt. And you saw a lot of players tweet mm-hmm. about it and tweet their displeasure. So he was beloved everywhere. And I think you're going to see a very rousing reception tonight for number 33.
Well, he did score his first goal in a Kings uniform. So we've got that one out of the way. So you don't have to worry about, you know, his first goal with the new team coming against his old team. That story's not going to happen, but
We gave Seattle their first win. We might as well just continue the milestones.
I mean, why not? Why? Yeah. We've got some guys who haven't scored goals yet, I think, you know, in general. So we'll see.
There we go. Great, great opportunity for those guys tonight.
Yeah, why not? So what do you need to know about the Kings heading into this matchup?
All right. Well, Sarah, we have a couple of questions from our end of the spectrum about the LA Kings. This one comes from June T. Is Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty's hot start a fluke, or sign that they still have something left in the tank?
I think they still have something left in the tank. Kopitar has been consistently, quietly, very, very good, even in these down years for the Kings. He has often been kind of the only guy on ice who you're like, yeah, he has a chance to make something happen. Doughty, anyone who has ever listened to Locked On Kings know that I'm not the world's biggest Drew Doughty fan, and I am certainly, you know, no hesitation to criticize him when he deserves it, but he, I think, has come into this season with a better mindset than before, a more mature mindset. And I think that's kind of translating into his play. You know, he's not the same defenseman from the cup runs. Like he is getting older. He is maybe not quite as good as he used to be, but the problem with him in previous seasons has been just sort of a total lack of engagement. And that translates to his play. This year, you know, he talked big about wanting the front office to recognize that this team is trying to do something and is ready to be competitive again. And Rob Blake went out and did that and brought in players, including Victor Arvidsson, to say, all right, like, let's take the next step. And I think that has really kind of pushed Doughty in particular to perform maybe a little bit better. Is Anze Kopitar going to score, you know, 5 points every game? No, I think that'd be great, but he won't. But, you know, I think that it is a good, not wake up call, but a good moment for people to realize who don't maybe regularly watch the Kings, that he is still a very, very strong player in this league.
I was kind of wanting to ask that because you hit on something with Doughty that I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Kings very strong in the early part of the 2010s, 2 Stanley Cups. And then it just seemed like they kind of fell off a cliff mm-hmm. right away. Mm-hmm. How much do you think it was just, you know, complacency played a part of mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a part of it. You know, is just we won 2 cups. We, you know, especially the one where they just snuck in essentially at the you know, very end of it. And so there probably was a little bit of an attitude of like, yeah, we can do this. And then suddenly realized, oh no, wait, we can't. You know, so I think that was part of it, and trying to get over that mindset and trying to really change gears to be like, no, I can't take a shift off. I have to be intentional about everything I do, has been a challenge. And part of it was that the team, you know, there also was the Daryl Sutter factor of, you know, the tough love coach can only last so long before guys get sick of it. And so I think that had a lot to do with it as well. A little bit of chaos in terms of the front office. And there was the whole, let's fire John Stevens in the middle of the season and then bring in Willie Desjardins for some random reason, because no one else wanted the job. Like,
for chaos.
It was just very weird. Yeah. And then, you know, I think part of it too was a little bit of being hamstrung by previous decisions made by previous leadership. You know, Dean Lombardi gave away a lot to get the Kings those 2 cups, which is great. I think any team would do the same thing and say, yeah, I'll go through a bunch of years of being like irrelevant if it means I get a Stanley Cup. That's great. But what it meant was that the Kings had no real prospect system to speak of. They had no elite talent left. And so we're seeing now the fruits of that badness with guys like Quentin Byfield in our system, Brant Clark, who they just drafted last year or like in the last draft. And so finally they have the young talent to help sustain the team going forward and not just a collection of guys. So it has been a long road back to being like, oh, we might win some more games this year.
Well, I'm glad you ended on that, because that leads me to the second question. This is from David M. He mentions that the Kings, obviously, like we just talked about, have a pretty solid prospect pool, one with a lot of blue chips in it. He wants to know, who are some of the young guys who are already on the team making an impact this season?
So the first name that comes to mind is, he's not entirely a young guy. He's like in his early, I think he's 24, 25. His name's Vladimir Kachev, who has played professionally in the KHL for a couple of years and came over as a free agent. Funnily enough, Edmonton tried to sign him many years ago, but the contract was deemed invalid. And so they had to void the contract and he went back to Russia. But here we are. He was a great scorer in the KHL and the Kings got him, and he is already making an impact in terms of a level of creativity and on-ice vision that we don't usually see on this team, or we're not used to seeing on this team. He's still looking for his first NHL goal, but he's already got a couple of assists to his name. He's on the power play with Anže Kopitar. He just definitely is a really fun player to watch. So I think that he's someone that fans should keep an eye out for, if you're the Predators, to try to shut down. And then the other guy on the team worth mentioning is Arthur Kaliev. He has gotten into a couple of NHL games. He got in one last season. He scored his first goal, and he made the opening night roster this year. He's still kind of in that weird middle place of the coaches don't entirely trust him with a lot of ice time yet, because he's still very young, very early in his career, but a very gifted scorer at the OHL level. He led the Ontario Reign in scoring last season when he was with the AHL. And I think once he gets sort of the ice time that he needs to really start contributing, he's going to be really fun to watch. And I think anyone who has watched any OHL action over the past handful of years probably is familiar with his work of scoring from wherever he feels like. So still waiting for him to kind of take that next step to be more visible at the NHL level, but he is there, and we're just excited for it.
Yeah, we have a couple of big prospect fans who listen to our podcast. We're very high on Kaliev when he came out of the draft. I know they were kind of hoping he would slip a little bit further in the second round so the Preds could snatch him up, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Yep.
All right, here's a juicy one.
Ooh.
Who do you think ends this season as the number one goalie in LA? Is this still a quick job to lose, or is Cal Peterson kind of becoming the guy?
I think it's Cal Peterson, but I will qualify that by saying that I think it's more likely that this season is more of a 1A, 1B kind of thing, where Peterson might get the slight majority of the starts, but it may not be the overwhelming kind of clear-cut number one starter. Right now, Todd McClellan has basically said, I'm going to go back and forth between them until one of them shows me that they deserve the net more. And so, you know, we're only two games into the season right now, so there hasn't been enough time to really get a pattern from either of them. But I do think that it is, Cal Peterson does need to step up and show that he wants to be the number one, and that he, you know, the Kings made an investment in him for the next couple of years. So I think it is his net. He just needs to actually formalize the transaction. If Jonathan Quick plays more games than him, something has gone very wrong.
And it's kind of interesting. Do you see this kind of as a situation like we had in Nashville over the past couple of years, where Pekka Rinne kind of lost a step, and it just, you see Saros, who was always kind of the heir apparent, you know, started getting a fewer more starts here and there. Started, and the more consistent he was, the more chances he got. And it got to the point last year where eventually Saros kind of stole the job. They went into the year 1A, 1B, but by the end of the year, there is no doubt Saros was the guy. Do you see that potentially happening with Peterson by the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, that is my hope of what happens, is that it becomes very clear through this season that this is his job. And it does feel like a very similar situation to what happened with Pekka Rinne. We still have, I think, two more years maybe on Jonathan Quick's contract, 1 year. So it's a very long contract, but it's almost done. I think people think that he's still here for a million more years, but it's almost done. So the timeline for passing the torch is getting shorter. And it'd be really great to have a little more confidence that everyone is all on the same page by the end of this season. We close things out with a look at the head-to-head matchup between our teams and a little bit about Victor Arvidsson. That's coming up right after this. But right now, I want you to know all about rockauto.com. You probably want to save money, just like I do. I love saving money. I love getting things for cheap. What's even better is to save money and you don't even have to leave your home, and to save money on things that are probably going to cost a whole lot of money otherwise. RockAuto.com has basically every part you could ever need for your car. The site is easy to navigate. All you do is you put in the make and the model and the year of your car, and you find out exactly what they have available for you. It's so much easier than actually going to the store and having to talk to another human being, and then they just end up ordering it on their computer anyway. Just save all that time, save some money, shop at home, online at rockauto.com. They've been serving customers online for 20 years, so they are well-versed in the world of getting people their car parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, you ready to talk Preds-Kings tonight?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. It's kind of interesting for those, you know, for my listeners who may not know, just kind of where are the Kings right now entering this game?
So they've played two games so far. They opened their season against Vegas, and then their next game was against the Wild. The game against Vegas was like my wildest dreams come true. They like statistically destroyed Vegas. They won the game. They chased Robin Leonard after two periods. Every line was contributing. People who don't even usually jump in on the offense were doing things. There was a lot more activation from the defense. The power play looked good. There was a lot of puck movement. And I was like, well, this is amazing. Like, where did this team come from? And then the game against the Wild happened, and they were back up to their old tricks from last season of like not playing a complete 60 minutes and looking kind of disjointed and then getting scored on immediately after they scored and then everything kind of falling apart. So I think that these next couple of games, especially this one against Nashville, is really going to be crucial to figuring out where the Kings are on that spectrum, because I don't think they're as good as this Vegas game was, but they're definitely not as bad as the Wild game was. And I sure hope they're not, at least. So I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how the Kings come out in this game, how they respond to any adversity. Because right now everyone just has a big question mark because they gave us two completely different teams in two games. So we just don't know who the real team is yet.
Well, I would say one win and one loss is better than what's going on in Nashville right now. 0-2, baby. 0-2.
I mean, you've got a good trivia fact, though, for the Nashville Predators will forever be a piece of hockey trivia. Thanks to Seattle.
You're welcome, Kraken. For some reason, there's a lot of people very angry about that. I don't know why. It was a fun thing, and I don't think Seattle's a bad team. You know, it's not like you're dropping 8-0 games to the Arizona Coyotes or something like that. But
not
yeah,
naming names.
Yeah, but you know, you go online and the first comments everybody makes are, great, now we're gonna live in NHL history, or they're always gonna remember this game. It's like,
it was a fun game. It wasn't a drubbing. It wasn't, you know, oh no one on Nashville did anything. It just was a hockey game.
Exactly. It's, you know, I feel like everything that happens in Nashville this season is probably going to be more under the microscope than it would in a normal year. And I think a lot of it is just fan anger. Mm-hmm. I have been following the Predators since their inaugural season. You know, I remember when getting to the playoffs was a godsend. Mm-hmm. It was like that for almost like a decade and a half. But, you know, once the Stanley Cup run happened and the President's Trophy season, expectations go up, mm-hmm. and especially because it's still the same core. Mm-hmm. And because of that, everything is under a microscope this year. Any roster move, which there's been a couple in the past 2 days that fans specifically aren't thrilled with. Mm-hmm. Every line change, every person who's a healthy scratch or in the lineup or vice versa, mm-hmm. anything like that is going to draw a lot of ire and put some pressure on the coaches and the general manager. It's a weird time. It's a weird time.
Yeah, I feel like that it's also kind of, you know, knowing the team is in this sort of, we are what we are, not quite rebuilding, not quite ready for the youth to come up. You know, it's always interesting to see how fans react to a team being like that. And having watched the Kings the past couple of years where, you know, people are getting mad about the fourth line left wing when I'm like, there's so many other problems on this team and we're getting mad about this guy. Like, okay, fine. And to see, you know, we're slowly people are having like complaints. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's actually like a legit one. But I feel like there's a similar sort of sentiment of like, why is this guy still in the AHL? Like, well, he just is. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one thing, and I'm sure as a Kings follower, you know this as well as everybody the past couple of years, but you have to be patient with your prospects. Mm-hmm. And some of them just aren't ready for a full 82-game NHL season. Mm-hmm. We're kind of seeing a little bit of that this year with our guys here, Philip Tomasino and Cody Glass. Tomasino was a healthy scratch in what would have been his second game. Cody Glass just got sent to the minors just because they said they want him to play more top-line minutes. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I do think, and this is something you have probably gone through too, I think people maybe romanticize Riedel's mm-hmm. a little bit. You know, anybody who plays GM mode on NHL 22, you know, will suck for a year, stockpile mm-hmm. that number mm-hmm. one pick, trade all your top guys for number ones, and then have a superstar team in 2 years. And
yeah.
In reality, that happens maybe 5% of the time mm-hmm. in the NHL. Even like the hot teams, like right now, like Toronto, that's an example a lot of fans use to, oh, well, we can be them. They haven't won a playoff series since right. the first lockout.
Right.
Yeah. And for every Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner they drafted, you know, they had Tyler Biggs mm-hmm. and, you know, players like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not a sure thing. And I feel like based on what you've described, some of your reactions from Kings fans, it seems like Preds and Kings might be in the same boat with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like there's also a lot of, why is this prospect playing on the fourth line? Well, that's where he's at. And you need to develop depth, guys. You know, not every prospect is, you can't have all of your prospects in your top six. Like it doesn't work that way. And so sometimes, you know, I think especially players, anyone who's kind of spent any time watching or covering the AHL particularly, you know, you hear from players who basically say like, yeah, I you know, grew up doing more offense and that's always been my thing, but I learned the path to the NHL was being a penalty killer and being, you know, that fourth line grinder. And so, yeah, maybe you picked a guy in the second round who you thought was going to be your new top left winger or something, but he knows that his best way to the NHL is to not be that guy. And it's okay. It's okay to put him on the fourth line. It's fine. I promise.
Exactly. Well, I know we mentioned this earlier. Tonight kind of feels like two divorced parents meeting up to trade custody of their kid. Victor Arvidsson, of yep. course, that was the heartbreaking thing from this past season. Mm-hmm. What has he been like on the team so far? And how do you see him gelling with this younger core moving forward?
I really like what we've seen from him so far. Like I said, he just got his first goal in the game against the Wild. He opened scoring and it was just like, oh, finally, which sounds hilarious after two games to be like, oh, this guy finally did the thing. But he had been getting so many chances in the preseason. He'd been showing off very quickly his speed that many of the games he would, you know, the first shift he was out there, he'd get the puck and he'd get a scoring chance. And it's really just more about getting comfortable with his line mates and converting. I think that if he works out the way we want him to, it's going to be great for the Kings because they have longed for a scoring winger to play with Anže Kopitar, and they've never really been able to find a good fit. And, you know, so far I'm liking what I'm seeing. I think that they still, you know, it's only been two games that there's still time for them to gel. But, you know, I think, you know, Arvidsson is already, you know, I think there was one game he had like six shots on net or something. So he's already showing us what he can do. And now it's just about, you know, getting the hands and the body and the feet all together to you know, put the whole package together and to be, you know, in sync with his teammates. But I've been enjoying it, and I'm excited to see what happens once everything really gets comfortable.
Yeah, I think what you described is something the Predators Nation knows all too well. RV with the high volume of shots, mm-hmm. physical play. That to me, it was always the standout in Nashville too, is he's not afraid to get physical. He's mm-hmm. not afraid to just stand there right in front of the net. He's obviously much smaller, but it's not unlike the role that Dustin Brown played mm-hmm. in some of those early games or some of those early Stanley Cup years where he's just, you know, a guy who's not afraid to get into the gritty areas and have great opportunities for chances.
Yeah. And I think the team definitely is always looking for players like that. And I know one of my biggest complaints when I watch them is, you know, why is there no one left in front of the net? Why is there no one there for a rebound or to try to, you know, get a puck in? And I'm pretty sure that the goal that he scored was kind of one of those ugly goals that came because he was in the right place in front of the net and was able to get a second chance opportunity. And, you know, that's, you know, not to sound like a, you know, cliche hockey coach, but that's how you score goals in this league. You know, not everything's going to be beautiful. And he's already been kind of jumping into that role.
All right. Well, do you have any Predators related questions for me?
I think my final question to you is, now I know the Nashville Predators are not listening to this show, so I think it's okay to tell me, what is the secret weapon to beating the Predators? If there is a weakness on the team, what do the Kings need to do to take advantage of it and come away with a win, other than be the Seattle Kraken, apparently?
Well, you said the Predators aren't listening, but are the Kings listening? I don't want to give that
information. No, they definitely do not believe in podcasts.
Okay. There's a lot of ways I could go with that comment, but instead, you know, for me, it is be in the right place at the right time, because the Predators this year have not been good with clearing away second chance opportunities. UC Saros this year has been a little bit off on his rebound control from the form we saw at the end of last year, where he was just a world beater. And we've also seen some issues with guys miscommunicating in the defensive zone, opening spots. And I do feel like if the Kings are aware of that, if they're able to get guys in the right spots, if they're able to exploit some of Nashville's miscommunications, they're going to get prime second, third chance opportunities. And I think that's an area where the Predators have kind of found their Achilles heel this season. So that needs to clean up.
I won't tell them that you said that. I'll keep that information to myself.
I appreciate that. Okay. I gotta get some payback though.
All right.
This I might tell the Predators. I might call them up today and just say, hey, let them know. How do we beat the LA Kings?
I think that one of the big things, the trends that I've kind of seen just from the preseason and already, is if you start taking advantage of their mistakes, they're going to get frustrated. I think that the goals that the Wild scored on them were really taking advantage of turnovers, of kind of sloppy play. One of the goals that the Wild scored, it was like every Kings player was just sort of looking at the puck and no one was looking at the guy who was going to shoot the puck. So there can be some of that disorganization and, you know, lack of awareness that if the Predators are, you know, clued into that, they can very easily take advantage of it. And then I would say the other thing is to look at the bottom six, the bottom six for the Kings. The top two lines, you know, Kopitar centering the first line, Phil Deneau centering the second line, they have been pretty solid. The third and fourth lines have been a little chaotic in terms of the lines keep changing and players get hurt already, so it's not what we thought they were going to be. And they're getting kind of defensively caved in. So if you can get some of your scorers out or against the you know, third and fourth lines for the Kings, you may have some success, because they are not great at defense yet.
That seems like an area you would want to be good at to be in an NHL game.
You'd think. Yeah.
Well, that's a good opportunity for Nashville's third line tonight, considered one of the more skilled fourth lines in the NHL. It sounds like they might be able to jump on some opportunities to get the crowd going tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, I'm super excited to be very frustrated by this game. And I hope Victor Arvidsson scores a really dumb goal, because I feel like that's kind of the feeling I'm getting from this one. So I'm excited. It might be frustrating for both of us, I think.
You cut deep on that one. we can do shots after the game.
I like it. I like it. There we go. Yeah, sold. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me about the Predators and our shared son, Victor Arvidsson. For people who want to hear more from you, who want to listen to the Predators' side of the story on this one, where can they find you and your show?
Well, you can listen to the Locked On Predators podcast every morning. We have a new episode out Monday through Friday every day. If you want to also read my work, you can go to ontheforecheck.com. I have some new articles up every week, including one today on Cody Glass being reassigned and my thoughts on that situation. Or just tweet me at _NSMorgan. I'm a cool guy. Ask me questions. Say hi.
Excellent. I like it. And go say hi about Victor Arvidsson and, you know, see how that goes.
Yes, will be.
For Predators folks out there, you can find Locked On Kings also wherever you get your podcasts. You usually have to search for Locked On Los Angeles Kings because a basketball team decided that they also wanted the name. Locked On LA Kings on Twitter. And I'm also on Twitter at Write Said Sarah, which is W-R-I-T-E Said Sarah with an H. And I also am doing writing for Hockey Royalty. So you'll see me over there sometimes with game recaps and fun facts and lessons learned and stuff. So that's where you can find me. Thank you again to Nick for joining the show. Glad to hear from him and glad to get to introduce you guys to one of the newest hosts here on the network. That's going to do it for today. Make sure you are following this show. You're subscribed to this show on whatever your favorite podcast app of choice is. Tell your friends all about it. Share a link with them, tweet it at them, skywrite it. I don't know. But just make sure that you and all your buddies are listening to Locked On Kings every day. Thank you, of course, for making Locked On Los Angeles Kings your first listen every day. On tomorrow's episode, we'll see what happens in this game against the Predators. We'll talk all about what goes down, so that is coming up tomorrow. Now, what we're done here, go make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey, where his host, Scott Cullen, leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. The show is free and available on all platforms, so go look it up, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining me. Come back tomorrow for more Kings Talk here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.